Thanks to the band. Thanks for trying some different things in our order of worship this morning, so don't freak out, all right? So we're just trying stuff. You're on the verge of freaking out, some of you, so just deep breath, all right? We'll be all right. We'll make it through. Trying some things, okay? It'll be good. A special thanks to my brother, Jordan. Got a note from James. No. You don't need to clap him. I can say that because he's my brother, so you know you don't need to clap him. Got a note. James is not feeling well. Got a note from him late yesterday, and so Jordan and his wife Liz happened to be in town, and I was like, "Hey, what do you think about doing some worship tomorrow?" And he's like, "Cool, thanks for giving me the heads up at 4:30, like the night before." So, thanks for doing that. Appreciate that. It's kind of fun. I'm gonna pray. We'll go. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks again. Because we know that you've been present with us, and so we pray that you would help us to continue to be present with you. And Lord, you know that as the fall is quickly approaching, if it's not already here, and that with all of that comes just lots of stuff going on. And so we pray that you would help us in this moment, in our time together, that even if it's just for that moment, that you would help us to set aside the distractions of life that's happening all around us so that we might hear your voice. And so help us to continue to be aware of your presence. Still our hearts and our thoughts so that we would be open to the things that you would have for us. May your spirit be our filter so that the words that we hear would be the things that you would have for us, and they would be your words, not mine. And we pray that your word would be fresh and new to us this morning. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So we wrap up our Life Together sermon series this morning. And over the last couple of weeks, we've been working through a couple of different things, aspects of what does it look like to be in life together. And so the first week, we talked about this common life, this shared life that we have of Christian community, how we do that, what it looks like, that we're reminded that that only happens under the Lordship of Christ. And it's only because of Christ that we're able to even really put up with each other for any extended period of time, right? We talked about what that looks like. We talked about what that means. We talked about how we've got to take the things that we share in common, which gives us this common life, and we've got to go into the uncommon places. We spent a lot of time talking about the importance of you and I as followers of Jesus, that when we come in on Sunday mornings and we can sing songs about Jesus and talk about God and pray and it feels good. It's like, yeah, everyone's on board with Jesus for the most part. Okay, but that we're like, hey, this is a safe place to talk about churchy God kind of stuff. And so it's a common thing that we share, is despite the fact that we have a lot of different opinions on everything. But that we then are called to, Jesus tells us to go then into the uncommon places, what I call them. I call them the uncommon places, where you and I are now the outlier. Where we're going into the places throughout our week, maybe it's our workplaces or our schools or wherever we have to find those places where the common thing that we share on Sunday morning of, yay, Jesus, is not the norm in the places where we go throughout the week. And Jesus actually calls to go into those uncommon places and be that light and be, maybe inviting people or exposing people to the story of God's grace and his love through Jesus Christ for the first time. Because that's not the common thing wherever that might be out in the world. So we talked about going into the uncommon places. We talked about the me. And how the me and what we do in our individual relationships with God, the me time, how that matters to the us. And how it's really important that the things that you and I do in our me time actually proves to strengthen or weaken the us time in our community as we share this life together. And talked about the importance of the study of Scripture, of prayer, especially prayer for each other. It's really hard to harbor anger with one another when we are actively praying for each other. And so there's times when you and I are going to get frustrated and annoyed with each other as we try to live life together. Here at church, our vision is to live and to learn and to love. So we're living life together, learning to be like Christ, to be loving like Christ. And so there are times when living life together is messy and annoying. You're annoying, I'm annoying, we just get annoyed with each other. And so it's hard to keep, to wallow in that annoyance of each other when we're actively praying for each other. So the me time is not just my relationship with God and how I'm spending time in prayer and working through my stuff and studying scripture, but it also the me time in that I'm praying for you. I'm actively praying for you. And you are actively praying for me, and we're actively praying for each other. So the me really matters to the us. Christian community is not a place to flee from yourself. Okay, so you, church is not designed for you to come in and be a part of it as a distraction so you don't have to deal with your own stuff. But rather, it's an opportunity to work through your stuff and be in the community together. And the community helps us, the us helps the me work through my stuff. Because some of you have had the same stuff that you've worked through. And so our stories often are parallel. And the me and the us, they intersect. Bonhoeffer talks about, and he says, whoever cannot be alone should beware of community. Whoever cannot be alone should beware of community. And then he also says that whoever cannot stand being in community should beware of being alone. So they are intimately connected, the me and the us. The me matters to the us. And then we talked about last week the us, and how the us really works when we are willing and able to take a humble view of ourselves. We talked about when we are able to take a low view of self, and that doesn't mean worth, right? That's not saying that you have to sort of go, that's not a self-esteem statement. That's not saying you don't matter, you're not worth something, because what Jesus did on the cross clearly proves, you should know this, and you should find hope and encouragement in this, tells you and should remind you that you are worth a whole bunch, okay? So there's so the statement of taking a low view of self is not a matter of self-worth, but rather a practice of the discipline, I would say, of humility. So when you follow Christ, you see over and over again that Jesus calls us to a life of service, which happens only in and through the practice of humility, right? When Jesus says, I did not come to be served, but to, right? So then we're like, crap. It'd be a lot. I'd rather have people serve me, but Jesus says, here's the thing. It's actually about service. And so the us, the way in which we live in the us, is first by being willing to take a low view of self. That we're willing to humbly submit first to Christ, then to one another, as we try to serve one another. And we talked about some different ways that you and I could serve each other as we share this common life. We talked about the importance of listening. You can serve one another. The us gets stronger when you are willing to listen to one another. When you are willing to take the time, make the time, and listen to one another. And you've heard me say this before, that we talk about in real estate, it's all about location, location, location. I believe that is we live out our faith together in community and hear people's story, it's all about context, context, context. So take the time. You can serve one another by being willing to listen to each other's context of their story. So we serve each other by listening. We serve each other by allowing God to interrupt our schedules. Ooh, and that is I don't know about you, but that's a hard one for me. And I'm the guy who gets paid supposed to do that, right? Like you kind of had you're a pastor, so that means whenever God shows up, you're just like, yeah, let's go. I'm ready, God. And there's times when honestly, I would rather just be like, no, God, I'm trying to work on this thing. And he's like, why don't you just kind of shut up for a second? Why don't you just sort of set your stuff aside and recognize that I'm calling not just me, but also you, that we would allow God to step into and interrupt our schedules. And we serve each other by allowing God to do that. So when somebody rolls up to your conversation or to your house or email or to your text message, or your phone call, and they're like, hey, I've got this need, I've got this burden, I've got this mess, I've got this whatever, and that's we have to serve one another. We serve one another by allowing God to interrupt whatever it is through that person, right? You get the text message or the email, and you're like, oh, I don't want to do this now. God, don't you see my to-do list? And if the us is going to be us, then we serve one another by allowing God to interrupt our schedules, really, with one another. One of the other ways that we serve one another is by being willing to bear with one another. So when the interruption comes, that we would actually be willing to bear with one another, whatever that burden is. And that we would also bear with one another. And I would say that, and that we would put up with. We serve one another by being willing to put up with each other. And we only do that in and through the grace and love of Christ, right? Because on our own, we're just like, come on, no. I mean, think about it. If you weren't a Christian, you would avoid people who are going to burden you in any way. I mean, just, I don't have time for that. I don't need it. I don't have to do it. There's nothing that compels me to have to deal with your mess or your burden. You're just, I don't have to deal with it, and I'm simply going to just walk the other direction. If we're trying to follow Christ, unfortunately, we don't have that luxury. When Christ calls us to actually bear with one another. And then we also serve by speaking God's love and his grace and his forgiveness into our lives and each other's lives, but also the rebuke and the correction. So that when we see one of the us heading down the path of sin or away from God, that we would actually gracefully, lovingly speak into that individual's life, the love and the grace that comes and the forgiveness that comes in and through Jesus, but also the correction and the rebuke. And how we do that really matters. And this morning we're wrapping it up and we're going to talk about what I think are some breakthroughs that can happen in your life and in my life when we're trying to live this life together. And the components that go with it. The me, we're thinking about the me, the individual relationship with Christ, and how it impacts the us, and how we live out our faith together, I think can bring about some pretty significant breakthroughs in your life and in mine. So if you have your Bibles, or if you're taking notes, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, that's where we're going to spend our time this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 16 through 21. And you'll see the words on the screen here. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And we're going to start at verse 16. And I'm reading from the NIV this morning. And so Paul's writing and he says, "So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore," verse 17, "if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone and the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." And so when we live this life together and we're working on, okay, what does it mean to have this common life? What does it mean when I am working on and thinking about my individual relationship with God and how it impacts the us, the me impacts the us, and then we're working through and along the way, right? We're stumbling sometimes along the way. There are times when we're living life together as a church and we're like, hey, this is working. Other times when we're like, ugh. But we're working through the us and figuring that out, that then I believe that there can be some breakthroughs that can happen in our lives. And so Paul's writing this passage and he's talking about the new, not as this thing that, remember, we talked about that Christian community, that the common life, this life together, is not just this some daydream fantasy thing that Jesus talked about that we can just go, oh, someday, that'll be really great. But that it's actually a divine reality that God has created so that we can participate in now. And so here we hear Jesus saying, the new, Paul saying, the new is here. The new is now. And I don't know about you, but that is a message that I need to hear all the time. You are being made new in and through Christ. You have been made new in and through Christ, and the new is now. You don't have to. So some of us, what we do in our relationship with Christ and our faith, some of us kind of go, you know what? I got to get my stuff together. I got to get some things figured out. I got a huge mess. My life is a huge, broken, dysfunctional mess. And so I got to get that stuff figured out. And then I think me and Jesus are going to be really great friends. And Jesus is saying through Paul, the new is now. You can be made new now. The old is gone. And so when I think about that, I think there are some breakthroughs that we can talk about. One is the breakthrough to community. Living in the us is a constant reminder that you do not have to do life alone. You were not designed to go through life alone or to do this stuff alone. You don't have to navigate the mess of life, perhaps your own mess, perhaps the mess of another. But either way, you do not have to navigate this mess alone. The breakthrough of community allows the us to break into the isolation and the darkness of our hearts. Because if you've ever watched any sort of Discovery animal program, it is always the animal that gets disconnected from the herd that gets taken out. And you watch it, and you see it happening before it even happens, right? You're like, that guy's toast. You don't even see the lion, right? The lion is like not even in the picture. And you're just like, yep, that guy's done. And then sure enough. And so that's exactly what sin wants to do to you and me. It wants to isolate us from the us. And so the breakthrough into and to and through community gets you connected to and closer to the herd. You don't have to stay alone in your isolation and in your sin. It's also about finding part of the you in the us, the me in the us. We find the me in the us, and we find the us as we spend time focusing on the me. The breakthrough to community reminds us that we are all a group of sinners who are living by the grace of God through the cross of Jesus Christ. And we have to stop playing or pretending the game that everyone else is the saint and I'm the only sinner in this mix. That's just a lie. That is a lie that is going to isolate you into the darkness of yourself. And you're going to get disconnected from the herd, and then you're going to get picked off, and we're going to watch you on Discovery, and we're going to be like, oh, wow. Like, you can't turn away, but you're like, oh, don't. We are a group. The us is a group of sinners who are living alone by the grace of God through the cross of Jesus Christ. That is the breakthrough to community. And then I think when that leads into is then it that allows us to break through to the cross. We want to be ourselves. We want to be for self. By nature, we want to look at ourselves. And we, especially as individuals who live in the West, we think, well, I have the right to be myself. I have the right to my own hatreds. I have the right to my own desires. You know what? I have the right to my own life and my own death. But as we live in this community and we break through to the cross, we are reminded that we think that these things are mine. This is mine. And then we hear Jesus' words out of Luke chapter 9 when he said, whoever wants to follow me must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. And so the breakthrough to the cross is what allows us to lay our pride there, what allows us to hang our pride on the cross of Christ and go, wait a second, this isn't about me. This isn't about my rights to my life, my desires, my hatreds, my wants, my needs, my life, my death. But breaking through to the cross allows me to lay my pride there. and recognize that it's there at the cross where I find deliverance and I find salvation. I mean, we just read this passage. If you still have it there, kind of in the middle part of this passage, therefore, Paul writes, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone and the new is here. All this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ. This is the breakthrough to the cross. It is there that we find deliverance and salvation. It is there that we find our new self. And that leads to the breakthrough of new life. The cross is where the old self goes to die so that we might experience the breakthrough to new life. Christ is making all things new. And he's making a new beginning with you and with me. So when we talk about a breakthrough to new life, I really truly believe that when we are connected with God through Christ, that we are connected to each other in the us, that there are breakthroughs that can happen in your life and in mine that can change your life. That we're not just playing church, but church is a thing that actually can be a way in which we can see transformation happen in individuals' lives because of and through the grace of Christ. I don't know how many of you this morning are sitting here going, I need to be made new. I need to start over. I need a new life. I need a new beginning. And Christ has said in this passage, he has promised that that can be yours now, today. That the new can begin now. And that the old can be gone. And so when we talk about the breakthrough to new life, it's through the cross that we come and we recognize that Christ is making us new, that all things are made new in and through Christ. He wants to begin something new in us and with us. And all of the old self-absorbed ways of trying to get our own, trying to get what's mine, all of those things are dead because we left them at the cross. That Christ is birthing something new in you and in me. And when we break through into this new life in Christ, then the fear, the shame, and the guilt and the bounds of sin are broken. Part of what dies on the cross that day is not just my pride, right, but also the fear and the shame and the guilt. And that the breakthrough to the cross also leads to the breakthrough to the new life. The joy of being made new and the hope of what is to come. As we try to live this us together. I think one of the other things that comes through with this breakthrough of new life is the assurance, not insurance, right? Because that's a weird different thing. The assurance of knowing that you truly are forgiven, that you truly are loved, that you truly are made new. And it seems like as you read this passage from Paul, that he would suggest that you can know that assurance even today. That you can know that new life is a promise that Christ extends to you through the work of his cross. And so I believe that there are breakthroughs that can happen, that it can genuinely change people's lives. I'm not just saying this because I get paid to stand up here and say it. But that because I've seen it, I've experienced it in my own life, that I believe that these breakthroughs are a part of what it means to live in community, that it's a breakthrough to the cross of Jesus, that it's in that and through that, that by his grace, he can make you new. And it is a breakthrough to new life. I have seen people's lives changed by the cross of Christ. I have seen people who have, with all of the hope and the desperation of life, held on to these words of what it means when Christ says, you can be made new. And that new can be, is now. The old stuff, it's gone. But the promise of new is yours today. And so when we think about what it means for us to live this life together, my hope and my prayer for you and for me is that there would be some breakthroughs that happen. Some of you experience those. Some of you have yet to experience some of them. And I look forward to the day when we can have conversation and you're like, oh, Matt, it was the light bulb. Or it was, you know what? Man, I really couldn't stand this person or that person. And I started praying for them. And I almost kind of like them now. Breakthrough, right? Or when you're like, man, I was caught up in this trap and fear, shame, and guilt had me trapped in this way. And I was here and I couldn't get out. And I had a breakthrough to the cross and I laid that stuff there and I died to self. And when Jesus says, so deny yourself daily and follow me, that now I've broken through to this new life in and through Christ. What a fantastic thing for the us when the me has some breakthroughs, because I think it leads to some breakthroughs in the us as we share this life together. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks that you are willing to break through into the mess of our lives, into our brokenness, into our sin, and to draw us to yourself. Lord, help us as we try to live this life together that we would focus on our relationship with you so that we might also focus on our relationship with one another. Lord, strengthen the me's so that you might strengthen the us. So that together as a community of sinners who live together only by your grace through the cross of your Son, that we would then be able to connect with those around us in our community, in our neighborhoods, and invite them into that story. You have given us an incredible story of what it means to be made new. And Lord, I ask that you would give us the courage and the faith to live that story for ourselves, that we might share that story with those around us. We confess to you that we all need to be made new. And we hold to your promise that you are not only capable of doing that, but that you are willing and that you desire to make us new. And so make us a new us, so that we might be your light in our community, in our homes, in our schools, and all around us, we pray.